This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Let's get right to it. This hour, Brian Wheeler is live in studio, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at cvilletomorrow.org. And you don't have the swine flu or anything, do you?
I don't.
Okay.
I'm safe.
You don't have what I have right now.
I don't have allergies. I do have a yellow car.
You do. I've never had allergies this bad. Like, all of a sudden this year, for some reason, and in this room, for some reason, oh, man, watery eyes, headache. You feel like you got a fever. You're all stopped up. Oh,
I'm knocking on
wood. But it's not a bug. It's just, like, crap in the air.
Okay, well, you just let me do all the talking today, Coy.
I may have to. But first thing I want you to talk about are those fast kids.
The fast kids.
Because I didn't know anything about this, because I missed Jay's show when he was talking about it.
I can't do this justice. Of course, Jay is the expert. But I do know that Albemarle High School has the fastest 4x800 relay team ever in the United States of America.
These are the fastest high school kids in the history of America.
Indoor and outdoor.
And they're at Albemarle High School.
They're at Albemarle High
in
School.
In Charlottesville, Virginia.
And I put on my Facebook page, if you want to become my friend on Facebook.
There you go.
A link to the video, because it was so good. I watched the video of the whole race. It was up at University of Pennsylvania, UPenn, in the stadium there.
Yeah.
And
was some national tournament or something?
It was a national tournament. This is apparently the big outdoor meet of the nation. So the best teams in the country. And during the you know, you have four runners doing a relay. And the first runner, you know, was probably in, I want to say, fourth, fifth place most of the time they were running. And then the next runner sort of moved up a little bit and was like second, third place. And then by the time the third runner came, we were moving into first position. And then finally, with the fourth runner, moved into first and stayed there. But it was exciting to watch.
Wow. So Albemarle High School. Boys. Relay team.
Boys relay. Four.
And they set
the event is called the four because they're four runners by 800 meters. So each of them runs 800 meters. I don't know how many laps that is, but
That's at least once around, isn't it?
Oh, it's more than once. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it's two or three times. I'm not a big
So man. It's a really long relay race.
Yeah. Yeah. 7-8 minutes is the total.
Wow.
Total race.
So they're just sprinting like crazy. Oh,
they're running
man.
Pretty fast.
And that's amazing.
And it's
right here in Albemarle High School. That's amazing.
Daily Progress put a great.
They should give them a key to the city or something.
Well, they got a lot of attention.
Do they give keys to the city in Charlottesville?
Well, they're in the county, Coy.
Give them a key to the county. Key to the county.
The school board should give them a key to the
They should do something.
School building or something.
Yeah, they should have a big award ceremony for something and recognize
we
them.
We do recognize
them. That is a big deal.
We do recognize them. Now, they earlier
So
this
they not
year,
only won, but they set a record.
It's the fastest time ever.
Fastest high school runners in the history of America at Albemarle High School.
National record.
This is blowing my mind. Can
they
you
did
tell?
It, they did it.
It's clearing my sinuses.
Good. They set the record for indoor, and then the question was, can they do it again outdoor? And sure enough, they did. My favorite part of the video, though, Coy, was you've got teams from all over the country, and so they're throwing out school names, you know, that I've never heard of. But just to hear Albemarle, you know, ringing out throughout the UPenn Stadium over and over and over was a lot of
wow.
fun.
Wow. That is so impressive.
So if you Google this, if you Google Albemarle High School 4x800, I'm sure you'll find the video. But it's fun to watch.
That is really impressive. That's amazing. You had any good meals lately?
You know, I was thinking today that I was having a little food crisis at lunch today.
You didn't go to Zazu's, obviously.
I didn't. Now, see.
I did.
Of course.
I actually went with Sean O'Brien, who was selling
see,
in the
you,
first hour.
You work over that way.
Yes, it's very convenient. I can literally walk there.
If they were on the downtown mall, I'd probably be there every day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's what my crisis was today.
Where do you go
now,
to eat lunch?
I mean, I go to about a dozen places. I rotate around, try to move the money around, you know, make everybody happy.
Yeah, downtown.
Yep. So I'm on the downtown mall, and what I miss is the burrito place. There have been several burrito places over the past, you know, two decades on the downtown mall.
Yeah.
But right now, we currently don't have one.
Interesting. So that means there's no Mexican, or there's no just like a wrap?
There's
we
no
say burrito, you mean like
well,
a wrap
there's
thing.
Guadalajara.
Yeah.
But I'm just talking about walk in real quick. They make the burrito on the assembly line or like a wrap.
Yeah.
There's no place like that.
What about Epi's? Do they make something like that?
I don't.
You go there? That's good.
I've only been there a couple times.
Oh, no. You got to go there. That's good food. Really good.
I have seen them advertise tamales, so maybe I should go in
there. Yeah. Eppie's is great. My kids love Eppie's. I like that. That's good
food.
That
was my food crisis.
What about the pizza place down there by the movie theater? That's awesome.
Christians, yep.
That's
good. I go to the old Christians location, which is now called Vita Nova. Vita Nova.
Same pizza, though, right?
Well, depends who you ask.
Didn't it used to be Sylvia's?
Used to be Sylvia's.
Back in the day?
Now it's called Vita Nova.
Yeah. It used to be Sylvia's, and Christian worked there.
Right.
And then he sold it. Went to school for a while. Maybe he had assigned a no compete or something. And then he comes back and opens Christian's.
Yeah.
But it's the same pizza.
Very good.
And Sylvia's becomes something else. What about Bizu? That's good.
I go there a fair amount. Yep.
That's really good.
Like I said, I move it around.
Yeah.
But crisis today, I needed that burrito or a wrap.
And you couldn't find it. What did you end up getting?
I went to the pizza place. I had pizza. Thai chicken.
Ooh, Thai chicken pizza. Yeah.
And they didn't have it. They didn't have it on display. And I was like, man, every time I come in here, there's no Thai chicken. And he said, I'll make you some.
Ooh, they like you, Brian.
So they made me some.
That's pretty sweet. You ever had that chicken broccoli pizza? That's good, too.
No.
You don't like broccoli?
I like broccoli, but
what's your favorite vegetable?
Not on pizza.
What's your favorite vegetable of all time?
Probably,
in the whole wide world, including Europe?
Probably corn on the cob.
You know? Is that a vegetable? Corn?
Sure.
I'm sorry. I have allergies.
It's not a fruit quite.
You're right. I like that white Virginia corn you get in the summertime around here.
Yep.
Corn on the cob. That's mighty good. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll start with the Charlottesville Tomorrow and Free Enterprise Forum. They co-hosted the first city council candidate forum Tuesday, just a week ago Tuesday.
Yep.
So we'll get a full update on that. We're also going to talk about the latest on the train to D.C. and back. We'll talk about the water supply plan and escalating water rates. Lots of good stuff coming up. Stay with us. Five, 57 degrees. We'll have a full local news update for you, weather update at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now. News Radio 1070 WINA. I'm Coy Barefoot, and my allergies are killing me! What is pollen, by the way? Like, literally. It's not a little bug, is it?
It's that stuff from flowers.
Yeah.
Plants. You know, the seed of
it's like
flowers.
It's like a microscopic dust.
Yeah.
Or not, maybe not even microscopic, because you can see it in the air. Man. Anyway... Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, SeavilleTomorrow.org. Tell me about the forum.
It was good. So Neil Williamson and I were the co-host, co-moderators.
Give Neil a bell.
And I think, you know, Neil and I like doing these. It's fun to, of course, we just focus on the content. You know, you were pointing out that we needed a fancier table.
Yeah, that's the first thing I saw when I saw the picture of the forum. You need to drape that table.
Of course, you know, I'm like, who cares? I've got all three candidates sitting right there. You know, the audio's working, the video's working, the lights are good. I'm thinking, this is great. You know, we'll ask the candidates some good questions.
Yeah, yeah.
We had a good audience turnout. There were about 50 people with the media.
Oh, good, good.
Which is good for a local candidate forum.
Yeah, something like that during the week. That's good.
And we didn't even advertise, really. I mean, it was in the paper beforehand, and you and I talked about it on this show, but we didn't really run ads or anything.
Yeah.
So we relied on the candidates to advertise that it was happening.
And who is on the panel of candidates?
So we had the three Democrats trying to get the two nominations from the City Democratic Party. We had Julian Taliaferro, Dave Norris, and Kristen Zekas. So two incumbents, Mayor Dave Norris and Vice Mayor Julian Taliaferro, and then the challenger, Kristen Zekas. And we had all three of them. We gave them, as you remember on the show, we went through the questions we gave them in advance. So we gave them nine questions in advance, and then the audience was able to send in cards up to Neil and I that we were then reviewing and trying to pull questions out of. So we did nine of our questions that Neil and I came up with in advance, and then we did eight audience questions, and I think it was a good mix. Now, somebody called the show before we started today and said, why didn't you ask my question about the school issue? And I pointed out that because I'm on the school board, it can be a little complicated for me to...
Dicey might be the word.
Especially, this question had to do with consolidation of the school system.
Which is a hot political issue.
Could be, if it if it got talked about, but it doesn't really get talked about much.
Yeah.
I'm on the record as saying I think we should talk about it, but that's another story for another day. Yeah.
Well, it's a small town. We all wear many hats. And you are you happen to be chairman of the school board for Albemarle County.
But the way we run the forum is to try to have it be as informative as possible. So we pull out questions that we think will take a topic further in depth, like the water supply. We did that. We had questions that took other road projects into more detail, like the Eastern Connector. We try to ask questions that all three candidates can respond to. So we don't want an audience question, for example, that says, hey, you, why did you vote this way on that? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, the whole goal of this, of course, is to inform the public. And what we have put on our news center, for those of you listening who will have a chance to vote in this caucus coming up on May 9th, that will happen at...
Well, that's just around the corner.
That's just around the corner. So it's a week from this Saturday. We'll be at Burley Middle School. So city Democrats will have an opportunity to vote throughout the day on that day for the two people they think should be on city council next year. And we have put on the website an audio podcast, so you can listen to it on your iPod or over your computer. You can watch the video, which is about 2 hours long, if you want. We have the whole thing there. If you want to see their facial expressions and when they're reading from prepared notes and when they're doing it off the cuff, you can check that out. We also have a full transcript, which you can download.
Did they actually literally like prepare statements from the questions?
Sure. Yeah, because we gave them a week in advance.
Sort of lame, though.
Oh, I would do the same thing.
Would you really?
Absolutely.
And just read your answer?
Well, I mean, you want to make it look as good as possible. I mean, even though President Obama has teleprompters, right?
Yeah,
we've heard all about that recently.
Yeah, that's true. So what was the big, what do you think were the big takeaways from this thing?
One of the big takeaways had to do with the Meadow Creek Parkway. And you and I have talked on the show before about Julian Taliaferro and his position on the parkway, because he was sort of letting it be known that he was revisiting his position on the parkway. And we were speculating, I think you were speculating, as to whether
that might have something to do with trying to get reelected.
Right.
To get the anti-parkway vote.
I think that's what you said.
Yes.
And I didn't say that. But what he said at the forum when we asked him about this was, quote, "Well, as many of you know, I did decide to revisit my original support of the parkway." And then he went on to say, "I have decided that I will support the parkway for several reasons." And he goes on to give his reasons, most of which had to do with concern about commitments made by the city and concern that the city might lose up to, he said, $5 million that they would have to give back to VDOT for expenditures on the project already. So Julian Taliaferro, the news of the evening on that Meadow Creek Parkway.
So he definitely goes on the record as being pro-parkway.
He will support the parkway. Now, Kristen Zekas had already put on her website in some of her positions that while she was personally opposed to the parkway and always has been, as if she's elected to city council, she will not vote against it unless the courts say that city council overstepped its authority in transferring land or this whole segmentation.
So she goes on the record as saying she will vote against her own beliefs.
Yeah. If it comes in front of her, she's not going to undo the project.
Right.
If it's some, you know, you know, approving the interchange, for example.
She's basically saying it's so far along that even though I don't like it, I'm not going to stop it because it's so far along.
So basically, and Mayor Norris has always been against it and is still against it.
Yeah.
So his position isn't changing. But the question was, would there be a swing vote as an opponent to the parkway? And it turns out there's not.
Obviously not from the Democrats.
Not from Taliaferro or Zekas.
Interesting. So if somebody is anti-parkway, they need to vote for that independent guy.
Well, I don't
or
know.
Or is he pro-parkway?
I don't know what Mr. Williams' position
is.
Yeah,
well, I don't know why I assumed he was against
the
parkway.
But we will find out.
He's
Andrew
the only
Williams
option.
Is running as an independent. So that was one of the interesting issues. They talked about the YMCA in McIntyre Park, you know, the other side of McIntyre Park. A lot of talk about
what's
park.
The latest on that? They still going to do that?
Absolutely. Yep. And Mayor Norris basically said, it's happening. You know, the question was, quote, "There's been a great deal of discussion outside of council chambers, i.e. in the community, regarding McIntyre Park and the Y. What will your stance be on the YMCA in McIntyre Park if it comes before council?" And Mayor Norris basically said, it already has come before council and we're doing it. And what they've tried to say is that it's not that project was never intended to be linked to the softball field decision. That was a separate decision that came up in the course of master planning parks and, you know, should they go to rectangular fields for soccer, lacrosse, whatever, and use softball fields out at Darden Town instead. And I think what Mayor Norris reflected on was the fact that those two things sort of got linked, and that was a problem.
It did look like that, though, because they approved the YMCA, and next thing you know, they're announcing they're changing the fields at McIntyre Park right next to the YMCA.
Yeah.
But you're saying that it wasn't related.
Was not. And you know, Norris took the opportunity when questions like that came up to say, we need to better engage our citizens. You know, he said the city should have done a better job engaging the softball constituents in the community who would have been concerned to know that the fields were being closed.
It's called buy-in.
And so Kristen Zekas talked a lot about that. Actually, they all did. All three of them talked a lot about wanting to get more input. Kristen Zekas talked about moving city council meetings out of chambers and out into the community to get more people involved. And she's repeated that proposal throughout the campaign.
Interesting. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. That YMCA, when are they supposed to do it?
They're still raising money. I don't remember when the groundbreaking is.
They're raising money in this economy? So they're going to do it in, what, 2023?
Well, they've had to scale back the project.
Oh, really?
Yep.
So it's not as big as it was?
Right.
Is it going to have a pool?
Yes.
Because, you know, you go to other communities, YMCAs are like really popular.
Yep.
And many of them are very nice.
Well, and again, Mayor Norris talked a lot about that. He talked about the benefit of it being right next to Charlottesville High School and giving opportunities not only for recreation, but other possibilities over at that site within walking distance. Another interesting thing, Coy, was the top priority question. What's your top priority for council? And again, for people who get to vote in this, I would encourage you to read the transcript because this is as close as you will get to a voter guide in advance of Election Day, a week from Saturday. Top priority for Julian Taliaferro, dealing immediately with the 13.2% dropout rate within our city school system. So Mr. Taliaferro talking about success of students in city schools and that being his top priority if he's reelected for another term. Dave Norris, current mayor, talked about in a next term on council, he wants to focus on revitalizing our public housing neighborhoods, take it from an idea stage and actually work on implementing this revitalization of existing public housing.
Totally overhauling all that public housing.
Right. Yeah. He would say not to displace anyone, but to build better housing in mixed-use neighborhoods and create additional density. So get more people into a more successful, livable, desirable community. And that's his top priority. Kristen Zekas, as I mentioned, said she's concerned about access to city council meetings. She said one of her concerns is about the responsiveness of the city to its citizens, and she wants to improve that responsiveness. Said that was something that came out of the recent efficiency study done of the city, and she thinks that is her top priority.
There you go. And the next debate is May 6th, right before the May 9th primary.
That's right. May 6th, the Democratic Party is hosting their own candidate forum for their own candidates. And that's the next opportunity the public will have to ask questions and see what these candidates have to say.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler. More after a break for local news and weather. When we get back, we'll talk about that train, that new train that's rolling up to D.C., supposedly on a daily basis. We'll get the very latest. Also, your water rates. This is Charlottesville right now. It's 40 minutes after 5, 20 before 6. This is Charlottesville right now. It's News Radio 1070 WINA. I'm Coy Barefoot. I want to wish you a very happy, tiny little Friday. Coming up tomorrow, we got Bruce Sanborn with our Hollywood update and Hans Spencer live in studio. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at seavilletomorrow.org. Are you a Brady Bunch fan? You grew up with it just like I did.
I watched it all the time. Why?
I was just thinking as I was listening to that clip.
Was that a clip from the Brady Bunch?
Yeah. You didn't notice that?
I didn't.
Yeah. Those were clips from the Brady Bunch. I was a very strange child. I would keep
That's
journal.
That's clear, Coy.
Yeah. I would keep a journal of the Brady Bunch shows and like what the
No, you did not.
I did. I wrote down the day, the date, the day, and I had a column for the time, even though it was the same time every day. And then and what the show is about.
I did. I kept like a log like that too. I have to admit, but not with the Brady Bunch. I would listen to Casey Kasem's Top 40.
Yeah.
And record the whole show, and then I would like slice and dice the songs. Because, you know, we didn't, you couldn't download music back then, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't want to go buy the record, so I would just get, you know, record them off the radio and then make my own little mixtapes. You know, this is back in the 70s.
Yeah, that's very cool.
So I played around with all the recording equipment. And
are you a Lost fan? Do you watch Lost on television?
No, I'm Lost when it comes to Lost.
You know, I just discovered Lost.
I do know that.
Online. So I watch them online, and I've been watching them like...
You said you were like up to season 3?
I'm in season 4.
Season 4.
Brian, hands down, it's the best thing ever on television. It's not even close. There's nothing close to this.
It's
hands down, it is the best thing that has ever been on television.
I don't think I'll catch up with you, but I'll try to get started.
Well, you did Facebook.
I did.
One day you'll watch Lost, and you'll come back to me and you'll say, Coy, you were right. It's the best thing that's ever been on television. It's just freaking cool. Anyway.
Speaking of best things.
Yes.
Everyone thought the best thing was for travel was going to be this train to Washington.
I was one of them.
The passenger train.
I thought it was just...
Lynchburg to Washington.
It was good. It was so good. It was Branson good.
Daily passenger train. So yeah. Meredith Richards.
You could get on
community.
The train any morning. That you wanted to, and be in D.C. in time for like a 9 o'clock meeting.
Well, let's talk about that.
Okay.
So Meredith Richards, who heads up Seaville Rail, Piedmont Rail Coalition.
One of the people that made this happen.
Former vice mayor, city of Charlottesville. So Meredith was under the impression when this project was moving forward that the departure time from Charlottesville would be about 6:17 in the morning. So you would get to Union Station in Washington about 8:40 in the morning. In time for a 9 o'clock meeting.
Hence right? The phrase commuter train.
But that's not, they didn't really talk about it as a commuter train.
Yeah.
I mean, it was more, you know, tourists and people making day trips, both directions.
But if you're going to make a day trip, you want to get up there before 9.
Right.
Or as close to 9 as possible.
But you're right. A lot of commuters were interested in this. So that time worked for the commuters who wanted to get up there. And then the times worked coming back as well. You would leave at the end of the day and get back in Charlottesville early evening.
Yeah.
Well, this moved forward, got the support of both Amtrak, Virginia Department of Rail and Public Transportation. It got funding. So it's going to start later this year.
In the fall, right?
In the fall.
Yeah.
However, the train schedule has now been advertised. The train will leave Charlottesville at 8:45 a.m. and get to Union Station at 11:30 a.m.
That doesn't make any sense. It gets into D.C. at 11:30? That's not a commuter train.
It's not. And what concern, we interviewed Meredith Richards. You can read the story in our news center.
Not unless your day starts at lunchtime.
Her top concerns were, you know, this is a 3-year pilot project. They have grant, you know, they've got funds for 3 years and they need to be able to show successful use.
You need butts in seats.
Of this train.
If it's a pilot project, you need butts in seats on that train.
So that's the concern.
They volume.
They won't have the usage with that schedule.
No.
And then the other concern was that this decision was made without the public at the table to express their concerns about
commuters. Who made the decision?
Commuters. Well, the final decision comes down to the Virginia Department of Rail and Public Transportation, but there are 5 parties that are involved in the scheduling. You have to keep in mind these tracks are used by freight trains, right?
And they get priority.
And apparently between Manassas and Washington, there's a short segment of CSX track that is the bottleneck. And you got to get a lot of freight trains through there. And so it's very complex to schedule 2, you know, trips of passenger trains in that corridor. And so apparently because of the challenge they had there, they had to move into an available slot. It wasn't the slot that everyone thought it was going to be back when this first got proposed. So Meredith Richards was concerned that the public wasn't at the table. And so Piedmont Rail Coalition, her group, is embarking on this campaign to encourage the Department of Rail and Public Transportation to get the public engaged, get feedback on this.
And revisit those
and
times.
And make sure they document, you know, this problem.
Yeah.
So that this can be revisited down the road. She does not expect it to be revisited before fall. So
when they launch this new commuter train in the fall, it's not really going to be a commuter train. It'll be this train to get you up there around 11:30.
Right.
When does it come back? Do we know?
I don't think I wrote down those times.
Like 10 o'clock at night?
I don't know how late. I'm not going to say. But it was an article that we wrote that got a lot of comments, for us a lot of comments.
Yeah.
On our website, you can comment, but you have to give your first name and last name and a valid email address. We don't allow anonymous comments, but that keeps the quality of the comments very good.
Absolutely.
People stand behind the remarks. And we had a lot of people commenting about this issue. So if you have concerns about it.
What's the general gist of the comments?
Like, would you play the buzzer sound again? I mean, that's basically.
Really? People, I'm one of them. I don't like it. People, I mean, we're supposed to get this train from Charlottesville to D.C. every day.
Yep.
Supposed to leave first thing in the morning. So you could get up there and, you know.
Our intern.
If you wanted to work there.
Our intern at Charlottesville Tomorrow, Daniel Naren, wrote this story, and I want to thank him for his year of work with us the past two semesters.
Way to go, Daniel.
He's finishing up, and he and also our fellow, Fania Gordon, are both graduate students at UVA.
Way to go, Fania.
They're finishing up their work, and in his research, he determined that it's the increased volumes of freight trains in Virginia haven't been matched by an equivalent increase in track capacity. So they've taken the existing tracks, or even it's actually fewer tracks, and crammed a lot more freight trains on them.
Well, you can see that on these tracks that go through Charlottesville. You see a lot more, yep. A lot more.
And so that's what makes adding passenger train very difficult.
That's a story y'all broke, right?
We did break.
I didn't see it anywhere else.
Yeah, we did.
That's a big story.
And that picture there.
Yeah, I love that picture. Who took that?
I took that in Howardsville.
Sweet!
During Pi Day 2008.
There you go.
When we were at the southernmost point. And lowest point in Albemarle County. That's right.
Down there on the river.
Pi Day just keeps, dividends keep coming back.
Let's talk about water, can we?
All right, we can talk about water. I don't know much about the water rates.
Well, I do. They're going up.
They're going, I knew that.
And they're going up and up and up.
But apparently not as much as people thought in the city. So the city, the news was, and I haven't read the story yet, the news was the city has advertised what the rates are going to be for public hearing.
Yeah.
So water and sewer rates. So I know the Daily Progress ran a story. I'm sure you guys have covered it. But anyway, check that out because there will be a public hearing. And while those rates are going up, the good news, bad news, the good news is when it comes to wastewater treatment, we've talked about Moores Creek being the place where all this stuff gets treated.
Yeah, and you can smell that on the highway. Did you know that when you drive by the highway? Sometimes you can smell that. I don't know. I can't imagine what it must be like to live down there.
Well, they've complained about that over the years. The folks in Woolen Mills.
Yeah.
First, they had significant concerns about the composting that was being done. That facility, I think, has been shut down now. I don't think they're doing composting.
The city was composting?
They had a compost facility related to the wastewater treatment.
Ooh.
Some of the gunk got composted.
Ooh.
You know.
Okay.
I'll use a technical term, the gunk.
Yeah. I'm not a big composter. Some people are into that.
Well, anyway, I don't think they're doing that anymore. Okay. At least the sign that said, you know, go here for compost isn't there anymore.
Okay.
But part of that was because of the odor control measures, that it was going to cost a lot of money to control all that odor. That said, I may be wrong about that. They may have implemented some of those measures. And anyway, but we still have to upgrade the plant itself to treat all the septic. And the good news is it's 18.5% under what they expected it was going to be. So that's a huge decrease of about how much?
$9.2 million. What do they need to actually do to Moores Creek? Are they going to redo the whole thing?
The goal here is to build the new facility, improve it such that the nutrients coming out of the facility are not negatively impacting the Chesapeake Bay watershed. So there's the Chesapeake Bay Protection Act. There are certain measures that every locality that drops water into the bay has to comply with. So these are provisions of that act that the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority is having to comply with. That's why they're doing this upgrade. So the good news is it's much less than expected. I guess the bad news is it's still $40.3 million. To redo Moores Creek. So that's in the works.
You can smell it on the highway. Did you know that? Going down the highway. Thank you so much. What is that? Ooh, is this breaking news? Ooh.
Wow.
Jacqueline P. Marini just came into the
studio. Play a little sound, though.
Well, let's find it. I don't know where it is. There it is.
This is a breaking news update from News Radio 1070 WINA.
This is the boil water advisory has been lifted for Lake Monticello water customers. Customers no longer need to boil their water. See, this is very timely breaking news because we're talking about water and cleaning it. Yeah?
Jacqueline's very smart. She knew exactly
Jacqueline
when to bring that in.
Jacqueline is brilliant. Beautiful and brilliant. The boil water advisory has been lifted for Lake Monticello water customers. Customers no longer need to boil their water before consuming it. So spread the word. You don't need to boil your water anymore down at Lake Monticello before you drink it or cook with it. So it's good to go. And speaking of good to go, where are they going to get $40 million for the Moores Creek wastewater treatment so we can continue to go and it can go down there to Moores Creek?
Well, Coy, that's why the rates are going up.
Hello?
Ratepayers are paying for that.
Yeah. Have they announced? Have they gone up yet in the county?
They've announced the public hearings. I think they're having those in May and June.
Okay. And those are going to go way up,
I haven't looked at that in a while. They are going up. Yeah. So the Albemarle County Service Authority, those are the people in the county that set the water and sewer rates. Again, just to explain it very briefly, RWSA, the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority, is the wholesaler. So they have two customers, City of Charlottesville Utilities Public Works Department and the Albemarle County Service Authority. So it's the city and the ACSA that then bill individual homeowners, property owners, businesses.
Yeah.
RWSA just has to worry about two customers. And even UVA doesn't go to RWSA. UVA, University of Virginia, goes to the city.
Interesting.
And that was one of the questions we asked city council in that candidate forum. How important is increased public water supply to the city and to University of Virginia, your largest customer?
Yeah, very important. Anyway. Even though the university is technically in the county.
But
they buy water from the city.
Medical center, technically in the city, most of it.
Yeah.
So it's both.
Yeah. All right.
But anyway, Albemarle County Service Authority was talking about the dredging RFP.
This is big news.
And did this make any other news?
I don't think
maybe.
I don't know. Probably made anyway, WINA, but I'm not quite sure.
The board recently met and they deferred a decision on moving forward with and endorsing this dredging study for the South Fork Reservoir. And they cited a number of concerns. Among them was the fact that they were afraid that if they endorse that, if that study is done, it may impact the permits that have been approved by state and federal regulators for the water supply plan. So they're concerned that if you start down this revisiting and collecting new information, that worries them.
Yeah. They're scared.
So,
because the city wants to dredge and they want to put out an RFP, a request for proposal.
I think a better way to say the city's position is the city wants to know exactly what it will cost to dredge and how feasible it is. And then they'll make a decision about whether it should be done. But they're definitely leaning towards doing it because they think that's probably the best way to get cheap water capacity.
I will tell you, and I've been very open about my views on this issue all along, but to me, that is such a no-brainer. You know, it's such a no-brainer. Well, why don't we dredge and see what would be, what we, you know, how much is that going to cost and what would it give us so that we can then figure out, well, you know, what kind of water supply plan do we need then if we know we're going to get X amount from dredging?
Yep. And before Betty gets on the phone, let me just say the other side of that.
Yeah.
That the other argument they made at the Albemarle County Service Authority was, I think, you know, the concern that basically their ratepayers in the county would help pay for dredging because it's money that the RWSA will spend. They've already set that money aside, of course. But if they spend it, they're going to, you know, pass along the cost to ratepayers. And I guess we've already paid it. But anyway, Don Wagner, the chair of the ACSA, has said in many of these four board meetings, why should we do this if, you know, we don't need the information because we already have a water supply plan. Let's just do the plan. Dredging alone doesn't get you enough capacity. So that's the other argument.
Yeah, but it could affect the plan. That's the whole point. I don't know. Betty, go
ahead.
That's
what the city is saying.
Hey, Betty.
Brian and Coy, here's my 2 cents.
Go for it.
Give us a whole nickel.
Here's a nickel worth of advice. Okay. Dredging is probably going to save the ratepayers millions and millions and millions of dollars. So that's why we need to study it. So that's number one. Number two, the Albemarle Service Authority is clearly just trying to obstruct the process. Several of the members were on the founding members of Friends of the Moorman's River. They pay no water rates. They have wells. They don't care what this costs. I feel they have a conflict of interest. They shouldn't even be voting on this, but they are. So they're trying to stop the dredging studies. They're clearly trying to do that. The permit issue is a non-issue. My group went to Richmond. The regulators told us if our elected officials would like to modify the permit, no problem. They just have to say that. So it doesn't void the permit. It just needs to modify the permit to better suit what we now know were bogus dredging calculations. And we also know that we have saved 20% more water than our consultants said we would by this time, point in time. So all of the amount of water we need is now wrong. The cost of dredging is wrong. The cost of the dam has tripled. The pipeline doesn't exist. They have no information. It is insane for us to go forward with this non-plan.
Betty,
so
thank you.
That's my 5 cents.
Absolutely.
Thank you
so much for the call. And I would say she has a lot of good points.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I would clear up is that the suggestion that the dredging numbers are bogus is a difference of opinion. Both the dredging firm that Betty Mooney brought to the community, Gahagan and Bryant, and Gannett Fleming, both came up with basically the same cost for getting the dirt out of the reservoir. The question is, how do you dispose of it?
Yeah.
So it's the disposal cost that were differences of opinion.
There you go. This is the
and
story.
The thing we all agree on is that, what was I going to say? Now I forgot it. There was an area of agreement, and it was...
something good, though.
I'll have to bring it up
this
next
story
time.
Just keeps on giving. Thanks, Brian.
Positives.
We'll talk to Brian on
Bye.
Tuesday. He'll be back on Tuesday. Y'all have a great night.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.